Well, if you look up the word Pentecost in most dictionaries, more than likely you'll just find one definition, if any definition at all. Pentecost isn't a word that most of us use in our everyday culture. And really, the only place you'll hear the word, if you hear it, is here in the church. And so I thought, if you're not going to learn it anywhere else, you might as well learn what Pentecost means here, through words and through symbols. As Phil already mentioned and described very well, Pentecost comes from the word pente, which means 50. And so Pentecost Sunday comes exactly 7 Sundays after Easter, with Easter Sunday being day 1. Today is day 50. And tradition holds that it is the 50 days, as the book of Acts records it, 50 days since the Passover, since the day of Easter, that we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. But I wanted to bring a couple things up here this morning that might help us relive the Pentecost story together and find out how we might be able to interject our lives into this grand story, the birthday of the church. The first thing I brought up here with me is a lantern. It's just a simple lantern that many of us have, like the kind we take to go camping or to spend time outdoors. In the Bible, it's a little dusty too, to tell you how many times we've gone camping. In the Bible, the symbol of the lantern, the symbol of the lamp, is a great symbol for waiting. In Matthew 25, there's a story that Jesus tells, a parable about some bridesmaids who are waiting for the groom to come. And so they all have their lamps in hand. And they go outside when they hear that the news of the groom is coming. Some of them have oil, and others of them don't. The lantern in that story is the symbol of people who are waiting for the wondrous gift of this groom coming. We kind of carry on this tradition today, don't we? When we are waiting for the arrival of a person after dark to come over to our house, generally what do we do to anticipate their arrival? Well, we turn the light on outside for them. It's a great symbol of waiting, waiting with anticipation for the arrival of someone special. Well, the lantern this morning for us might symbolize for you the times that you have waited for God. When are the times in your life in the past, or even maybe right now, that you have waited for a promised answer to one of your dilemmas, or maybe waited for a cure for one of your physical ailments, or waited for some kind of guidance as to what you're to do in the future, or waited for some kind of knowledge of how to repair a broken relationship between you and someone else? One of the great Christian virtues, one of the great Christian disciplines is patience. And how many times have we waited upon the Lord? The lantern is a symbol of the time when the disciples, after the departure of Jesus, waited for the Holy Spirit. Well, our second symbol is in my pocket. I'm not going to ask how many of you know what these are. Can you see them? Oh, I figured on a day when we have pictures of us at a bar, and maybe some obscene pictures of someone on a beach, it would be all right to bring a pair of dice to church this morning, too. Some of you know what these are for. Unfortunately, many of us have identified these with some of the bad things, like casinos and gambling and all that, but I kind of grew up with a pair of dice, playing Monopoly and other board games with my family. And so these are a great thing for me when I see them, because it brings me some joy. Well, it might surprise you that the Bible records many instances where people used a pair of dice. If you ever hear the stories of people who casted lots in the Bible, there's some traditions about what casting lots meant. There's lots of different ways that they could have casted lots, but one of the ways I like to think of it is that in those days they had little stones that had little carvings on them. More than two, more than likely it was 7, 8, as many as they needed. And it symbolized the little stones in the breastplate of the priests back in the Old Testament. And when you went to the priest, what was it that you were looking for back then? You were looking for the will of God. You were looking for the vision of God in your life. So you went to the priest. And people decided that, well, we could take a bit of the priest into our own, and started carving little stones with similar markings of the priests. And when the Bible says they were casting lots like they did for Jesus' garments, do you remember in the Passion story? They would take these little stones and they would roll them on the ground. And depending on the markings of the stones, how they came up, would be what they believed to be the will of God. And so this pair of dice is kind of a modern-day rendition of the casting of lots. Well, what does it have to do with the Pentecost story? Well, as the disciples were waiting, after Jesus had gone, the 12 disciples realized that they were only 11. Because, you remember the story, Judas Iscariot had taken his own life. And they decided that it was important to replace Judas with another disciple so that they might be 12 again. But remember, Jesus had gone. They didn't have someone physical to ask who should replace Judas. So they went back in their tradition and they brought out their dice, their casting of lots, and they rolled them. They had two candidates. They had a fellow named Joseph, also named Justice, and they had a fellow named Matthias. And it was their way of deciding which one of these two people does God want us to have as part of the 12. Now, I'm not suggesting that we use a pair of dice to discover God's will in our lives, but for us, the pair of dice might symbolize those times when we have tried to discern what God wants us to do. We don't need a pair of dice today. We have the scriptures. We have prayer. We have the advice of trusted advisors. We have simple silence and reflection and listening. But let's remind ourselves that God has given us many ways to discern God's vision and God's will in our lives. The pair of dice symbolizes discernment. Well, the great day finally arrived. The disciples who had been waiting and who had been discerning gathered in Jerusalem one day. And the scriptures, as we heard them this morning, recount a wonderful story of a violent wind that came upon the place, like the sound of a rushing wind. And there was divided tongues, like tongues of fire, that descended upon the people. And as two symbols that we use to kind of symbolize that, this morning we have a balloon to talk about the violent wind that filled the place and filled their hearts. And we have a candle, a simple candle that we light this morning to symbolize the presence of the Spirit as tongues of flame upon the people. Why the balloon and the candle? Because I believe that the Spirit, when it came down in Pentecost, filled and consumed the disciples with a passion for God, to spread God's word to all the people. And sure enough, Peter did. Peter, filled and consumed with the passion of the flame and the wind, preached a wonderful sermon on Pentecost Sunday. So on this day, let's use these two symbols to remind us of how it is that God wants to use us and how it is that the Spirit works in our lives by filling us, just like the helium in these balloons, with the passion of God and lifting us up to new heights and new levels. You weren't here this morning when we were blowing up the balloons, but one of those little balloons escaped and made it all the way up to the very top of the roof. That's what the Spirit is for, to fill us with God's power, to lift us up into the kind of people that God wants us to be. But more than that, God has sent us the Spirit to put a passion in our belly, to put a flame in our hearts, to do God's will after we have waited, after we have discerned, and then received God's vision. That vision puts a flame in us to do exactly what God wants us to do. The candle and the balloon remind us of that. Well, Peter preached that sermon, and it was a remarkable sermon because many people who had not heard those words before that Peter was preaching came to a point of belief in God through Jesus Christ. He told them the story of how Jesus Christ had come and how he had lived his life and transformed the lives of many, but how he also died a gruesome death, but then 3 days later was raised back to life. A very simple message that Peter preached, but he was preaching it because the Holy Spirit was upon him. And what was the reaction of the people? Do you remember? Later in the book of Acts, it says that many gave their lives to Jesus, believing, and many people were baptized. That's what the water's for. This baptismal font is up here near the altar every single Sunday, and that's what this is for. It's for the water. And you know that the biblical image of water is varied throughout the scriptures. Water could talk about God's power. It could talk about God's provision. It could talk about God's nourishment. But in the Pentecost story, water symbolizes God's invitation. God's invitation for all those people who have never heard the gospel story to receive through belief and through baptism, inclusion into the kingdom of God, inclusion into this grand celebration, this great party called the kingdom of God. You know, one of the favorite ways that Jesus used to talk about the kingdom of God was a party. It was a banquet. And what was the thing that Jesus said over and over and over again about this great party? That it wasn't exclusive. That it wasn't just for a select few. That this invitation to this great banquet was for everybody. And so water is a wonderful image of God's inclusive invitation to join the party. And perhaps you haven't made that commitment in your life this morning. You need to know that the waters of baptism, the belief in the gospel, is available for you. Well, running out of room up here. Okay. Our next symbol is one that you've already encountered this morning. Phil did a wonderful thing to bring us this great birthday cake. And it says here, I kind of laughed when I read it, "Happy birthday, the church." So, happy birthday, the church. This day, after all, is to celebrate the birthday of the church, and after the service, we will be in the narthex cutting some pieces of cake, and we'll be celebrating the birthday together. Birthday is a wonderful way of looking at Pentecost Sunday, because, after all, it is the day when the church came into being. There's some dispute about that. There are some people who like to think of Jesus' calling the first disciples as actually the birthday of the church. There are others who like to think of the birth of the church going all the way back to Abraham and back into the Old Testament, since, after all, we have inherited that great tradition as well. But for our purposes this morning, today's the birthday of the church. Why? Because it's the day when the Spirit came down. And if you look at the scriptures, whenever the Spirit came down, something was born. Take a look at the book of Genesis. When the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, the world was born. Take a look in the Gospels. When the Spirit touched human flesh through the form of Mary, Jesus was born. And in this great day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came down and touched the earth, the church was born. But let's take a look at this birthday cake in one other way, because this is what I'm wondering. Has God stopped giving birth through us? I don't think so. The Spirit is still around, touching our lives, the divine meeting the earthly in remarkable ways. And I have a feeling that God is still in the birthing business. And I wonder what it is that God has for each of us to birth in our own lives. Perhaps the Spirit is tugging at you to give birth to a new relationship between you and that person who was broken. Perhaps God is looking at you to birth a new ministry or mission for someone who has to experience God's love. Perhaps God is looking at you to birth something grand, something wonderful for you, for your family, for your community. God has not stopped conceiving new ideas, pun intended. God is still in the birthing business and is still using us to give birth to new, novel, and fresh things for the mission of God through the work of the Spirit. Well, we got one more symbol. And the symbol is a little bit too big to put on the altar. It's a symbol that I want you to notice when you take a look around to the people on your left and to your right, the front and to the back. The final symbol on this great Pentecost Sunday is us. It's the people. We just got finished singing that great song, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together." And after all, isn't that what the church is? The church is not a building. It is not facilities, it's not grounds, it's not doctrines, because those are confined by human language. The Spirit came down to establish the church in people. The Spirit came down so that the tongues of flame might descend not on the buildings, not on the books, but on the shoulders and on the people. Because that's what the church is. And take a look at all of us. What a grand gift it is to be the people, to be the church. As varied and as wonderfully different as we are, we have all come together to continue the grand birth of the church today. And so let's always remember, through looking at us, that we are a grand and varied and different people, always learning, always moving, always growing. The lantern symbolizes those times of waiting for the Lord and is an encouragement to you to maintain patience, for God and God's truth will come. God's truth will come. Yes? Oh, watch the flame. Right. Okay. Thank you. The pair of dice symbolizes discernment and is a reminder for us that we can always discern the will of God through prayer, through scriptures, through the advice of others, through simply listening and being quiet. The balloon and the candle remind us that the Spirit is here to consume us and fill us, but also to make us passionate for the things of God. The baptismal water reminds us that the church is for everybody, and it's an invitation for all those who have not yet heard it. The birthday cake reminds us that God might still be trying to birth something through you. So through your waiting and through your discerning, may God reveal to you the new thing that God wants to do through you. And all of us, the people, the great symbol of Pentecost, let us continue in the traditions of those early disciples by proclaiming God's word to those who haven't heard it, by ministering to each other through fellowship and through prayer and through love, that we might always be the church that God has established. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.